If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Luke chapter 21 and verses 34 to 36, as we continue in our series Back to the Basics. Luke chapter 21, verses 34 to 36. Jesus said, "Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." And let's pray. Lord, just thank you so much for your word. And Lord, what an awesome thing when you come to this earth again. And I pray you just show us this morning, Lord, how much we need to be ready for that second coming, Lord, when you do come. And how much, Lord, we need to make sure that other people are ready. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit and open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Nostradamus was this weirded out scientist and philosopher from France back in the 1500s. And 500 years ago, he came out with a book of 942 prophecies that some people claim predicted everything from the JFK assassination to 9/11, to the COVID pandemic, and everything in between. And now, everybody and his brother's blowing up the internet with other prophecies where Nostradamus supposedly predicts all kinds of bad things about 2023 in the future. And here's just a few. 7 months into the Great War, people dead of evil doing. And that supposedly prophesies World War III. But folks, that could apply to any war throughout the history of the world. Like the sun, the head shall sear the shining sea. And that supposedly prophesies deadly climate change. But head of what? Head of lettuce? Sooner or later, you will see great changes made, dreadful vengeance. And that supposedly prophesies America being overthrown. But that can mean the Bears are finally going to beat the Packers today. Clear as mud, psychobabble claptrap, that could mean anything that anybody wants it to mean. But here's the big prophecy the Bible makes about the future. And it couldn't be more clear or easier to understand. Jesus Christ is coming again. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called Back to the Basics, looking at all kinds of basic fundamental truth from God's Word so that we can get back to the Lord in these last days before it's too late. And today, we get back to the basics on the second coming of Jesus Christ. And to see that, we turn today to Luke chapter 21 and verses 34 to 36. In this part of Luke chapter 21, Jesus is giving us signs that he's coming again. And in our text today, Jesus tells us what we need to do because of the fact he's coming again. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, we're going to get back to the basics on the second coming. We've got to get back to the basics on what we need to do about it to start with. Our text this morning, Luke chapter 21, verses 34 to 36, tells us three things that we need to do because Jesus Christ is coming again so that we can be ready for it whenever it happens. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do because of the second coming of Jesus Christ, we need to wake up. And that's exactly what Jesus is telling us here in verses 34 to 36. Wake up, because be careful there in verse 34 literally means to keep yourself awake. Wake up, because I'm not talking about the zombie apocalypse or the invasion of the body snatchers or Santa Claus versus the Martians. I'm talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I know somebody's saying, "Well, Kevin, every time things get a little bit hairy in the world, you Christians start running around like Chicken Little with his head cut off, screaming, 'The sky has fallen, the sky has fallen.'" No, I'm not saying the sky has fallen. What I'm saying is Jesus is coming. Wake up, because we have never been closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ than we are right now. Wake up, and that's exactly what the Bible tells us. After Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, he told the disciples, BRB ASAP. Acts chapter 1, verse 11, the angel told the disciples, "The same Jesus you saw go up into heaven is not going to shelter in place there, because he's going to come back down just like you saw him go up. He's coming a second time." Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, Christ appeared once to take away sin when he died on the cross, and he will appear a second time to bring salvation to all who are waiting for him. Jesus is coming again. 14-year-old boy in New Jersey claimed that Jesus came in again and appeared to him in a Cheeto. A man in Maryland claimed that Jesus came and appeared to him in a piece of burnt toast. A housewife in Maine claimed that Jesus came again and appeared to her in some burnt spaghetti sauce on the bottom of a frying pan. Looks more like Sam Elliott to me. But folks, Jesus isn't coming back looking like that. Jesus is coming back looking like that. With all the glory of heaven and blazing fire and gazillions of His holy ones. Because Jesus said, Luke chapter 1 verse 27, you will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with great power and glory. Kevin, all you talk about is the last days and the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's not that big of a deal. Not that big of a deal. One out of every 30 verses in the Old Testament talks about the second coming of Christ. One out of every 4 verses in the New Testament talks about the second coming of Christ. It is a big deal. The Jehovah's Witnesses claimed that Jesus was going to come back in 1874. Nope. So then they claimed that Jesus was going to come back in 1914. Nope. So then they claimed, well, Jesus did come back in 1914. He just came back spiritually so nobody could see Him. No, no. Revelation chapter 1 verse 7 says, behold, He is coming in the clouds and every eye will see Him. So none of this Jesus coming back spiritually to our hearts and minds claptrap like Bambi's mom or Old Yeller. Jesus will come back literally. He will come back physically. He will come back visibly. Jesus said He'd come the first time and He did. Jesus says He'll come a second time and He will, because Jesus has never been wrong about anything else He has ever promised before. Wake up! Jesus is coming. And of course, the world today is sleeping on this because they think the second coming of Jesus Christ is just a joke. Madonna said this, Jesus isn't coming back because He was crucified on a cross, not a boomerang. Rapper Jay-Z mocks Jesus Christ in His second coming in his new movie, The Book of Clarence. That raunchy show Family Guy has Jesus coming back and working in a music store. See the video.
I am.
Oh my God! Jesus Christ! The Messiah! You've returned! You've returned to bring us the good word!
What word?
A bird.
Is that supposed to be funny? 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 3, in the last days scoffers will come, saying it's been 2,000 years. Where is He? But they don't realize Jesus is just giving more people more time to repent and get saved. Because after He comes, it's too late. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10, the day of the Lord will come. And don't you dare let that day take you unawares. Hey, new season of Big Brother has started on CBS. And can you believe it? Aaron Rodgers is playing for the New York Jets today. Did you see how hot Kim Kardashian looked in that gold bikini? And whatever you do, you have got to try the shakshuka bowl at Panera Bread because it is to die for. Jesus said, verse 35, you let the devil distract you, that day will come upon you unexpectedly like a trap and you're going to be lost. Last June, Greta Thunberg, the patron saint of climate change, deleted a post from her Twitter page. That was there since June of 2018, where a scientist said the world would be in because of climate change by June of 2023. Spoiler alert, it didn't. Environmentalist wackos can claim the world is coming to an end based on no evidence whatsoever, and everybody moves heaven and earth. But Christians say the world is coming to an end because Jesus Christ is coming back based on all kinds of evidence, mountains full, and cue the crickets. Wake up! Because Jesus is coming and the world is sleeping. Do you know what's even sadder? The Church of Jesus Christ is sleeping on it too. Christians today want absolutely nothing to do with the second coming of Jesus Christ or anything in the last days because it's too embarrassing. It's too Harold Camping. It's too controversial. It's not seeker sensitive enough, I've been told. Folks, I cannot tell you how many people come up to me in Kroger and Walmart and say, Kevin, keep talking about the last days because my pastor never talks about it at all. Yeah, and you know why pastors don't? Because they're too lazy to study it and they're too scared to preach it. And the sad thing is people are dying to hear about it. You Google the world is coming to an end. You get 5,310,000,000 results. The sheep look up and are not fed. What are you preaching, church? Everybody already knows that God is love. Everybody already knows that David and Esther were brave. And if you're not going to touch the book of Revelation with a 10-foot pole, then just take a scissors to it. Revelation chapter 1 verse 3 gives a special blessing on anybody who studies the book of Revelation. We preach and teach the book of Revelation here in the last days here at Fox River. We've seen more people come to Christ than at any other time in the history of this congregation. You got to go out on a limb, pastors, because that's where the fruit is. Wake up, because Jesus is coming. And I know there's somebody hearing this today. You say, but Kevin, he's been gone for 2,000 years. How in the world can you keep on waiting for him? John Crochet and his wife Teresa from Lake Charles, Louisiana, adopted a little mixed breed dog named Rufus when he was just a puppy. And because John Crochet was retired and because he was always home and loved to be outside, that dog Rufus was always with him. He'd run through the crawfish ponds every time John would trek his traps there. He'd chase after coons and skunks and possums every time John would go hunting. Every time John would be in his shop working on something or building something, Rufus would be there hanging out with him. Every time John was in the house, Rufus would lay down in the driveway right next to John's white pickup truck, waiting for John to come out and take him for a ride somewhere. And whenever John did have to go somewhere without him, Rufus knew that he was only going to be gone for a while. So that dog would lay down on the exact same spot on that driveway next to the road, waiting for John to come home. And when that dog saw that white pickup truck, he would start jumping up and down. John Crochet and that dog Rufus were best friends like you would not believe. But then January 2nd, 2016, John Crochet had a heart attack and was rushed to the hospital in Lake Charles. But after 15 days there in ICU, he wasn't recovering. So he was airlifted to Methodist Hospital in Houston, Texas, but then passed away 2 days later. So he never got to go back home, and Rufus never got to see him again either. And Rufus was really confused with all the people around the house crying, because where was his master? And because John's truck was still there in the driveway, he thought John was probably there somewhere too. So he just lay down next to the truck, waiting for John to come out and take him for a ride. How do you tell a dog that the love of his life was dead and wasn't coming back? Well, then 2 weeks later, Teresa sold John's truck. And because John's truck wasn't there, Rufus just figured that John had gone somewhere for a while like he always had before. So every day, that dog would lay down, same spot in the driveway, right next to the road, waiting for John to come back. Every single day, waiting for his master. And Rufus did other things. He'd still run through the crawfish ponds. He'd still chase critters. A neighbor that used to help John once in a while would come and work in the shop, and Rufus would go out there and hang out with him. One of John's nephews made in to help Teresa keep the place going, and he would play with Rufus, so Rufus had a good life, filled with people that he loved and people that loved all over him. But there was still something missing, because there was still someone missing. So every single day, that dog Rufus go lay on the exact same spot on the driveway, 4 hours every afternoon next to the road, waiting for John to come home. Just waiting. Missing the person he loved the most. And that dog did that every day, day after day, week after week, month after month, for 7 years. Until finally, last April the 3rd, Rufus died at the age of 12. Here's a video that Teresa made of the dog.
It's a sweet word. The table is prepared for you. Ooh, ooh,
ooh. Christians, listen to me. The person we love more than anything else in the whole wide world is our master, Jesus Christ. And 2,000 years ago, he died too. But see, 3 days later, he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. And Christians have been waiting for him ever since, because he promised us a gazillion times he would come back. So every single day, we wait for our master. Because 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, even though we don't see him, we love him. And we do other things too. We go to work every day, we raise our kids, we take care of our families, we take care of our houses, we try to reach out. We have a really good life filled with people that we love and people that love all over us, but there's still something missing because there's still someone missing. So every day we're waiting for that person that we love the most. Christians, every single day we are waiting for Jesus Christ to come and get us and take us to heaven. And we know that Jesus is going to do that because He promised, "I go to prepare a place for you," He said. "And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me so that where I am, you may be also." You say, "But Kevin, what if you're like that dog Rufus and you die before Jesus comes back? That just means we go to heaven faster. Because whether we go up there or He comes down here, still we're together, we're still with Him. It's all good." So wake up, Christians, because Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven. And never, ever, ever forget, we are waiting for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing we need to do, because Jesus Christ is coming again, we need to wake up. We go on in this text, we see a second thing we need to do because Jesus is coming again. We not only need to wake up, but also heads up. And that's also what Jesus is telling us here in verses 34 to 36. Heads up and see all the signs that Jesus gives us that His coming is close. And I have had pastors drive specifically to this church and get in my face and say, "Kevin, there aren't any signs." Because Jesus said, Matthew chapter 12, 39, "Only a wicked and perverse generation asked for a sign." Yeah, that He was the Messiah, because that should have already been known. They shouldn't have needed any more proof. But Luke chapter 21, verse 8, when the disciples asked Jesus when He is coming again, Jesus doesn't say, "You stupid idiots, there aren't any signs, because only a wicked and perverse generation asked for a sign." No, verses 9 to 33 in Luke chapter 21, Jesus gives them all kinds of signs. And Matthew 24 and Mark chapter 13 and on and on and on. More signs than the Dan Ryan Expressway. So heads up. You see the signs? Bible says in the last days the Antichrist will appear. In Daniel chapter 9 verse 27, He will stout the last 7 years of world history by signing the covenant with Israel that will divide up the promised land and unleash hell on God's people. And what do you know? Just this past September the 4th, Secretary of State Tony Winken, Blinken, and Nod was in Israel trying to get Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to sign a covenant, Joe Biden's version of the Abraham Accords, with Saudi Arabia that would divide up the promised land to create a Palestinian state. And because Benjamin Netanyahu is in his fifth term and five in the Bible is the number of judgment, Benjamin Netanyahu is this close to signing that. To signing that covenant. The covenant of from hell, Isaiah chapter 28, verse 18 says. Because it's the same covenant that Benjamin Netanyahu will sign with the Antichrist very, very soon. Eyes on Israel, folks, because the fig tree is in leaf. Revelation chapter 13 says in the last days, the Antichrist will set up a one world government. Something that the United Nations, the WEF, Prince Charles, King Charles, the Pope, everybody's been dreaming of and pushing for like crazy. And how will He set up that one world government? Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 and 17. He will force everybody in the whole wide world to get the mark of the beast in either their right hand or their forehead. And without that mark, they won't be able to buy or sell anything or survive. What is that prophesying? It's prophesying a cashless society. What do we see going on all around us right now? The war on cash. See the signs? Heads up, folks. They're not pushing for a cashless society just because young people don't know how to count back change. And that one world government is going to set up a one world economic system totally based on that mark of the beast. In, not just on, but in everybody's body. And today we know that that mark of the beast is a human implantable microchip that millions of people all over the world have already had injected into their hands. And that microchip will store everybody's financial records and be connected to the internet. And don't we see that coming? Amazon One is already allowing their customers to pay for things in stores just by swiping their palm at a scanner at the cash register. And now 147 countries of the world, including the United States, are going for digital currency. And digital currency is programmable. Which means if you don't toe the leftist line and you try to buy a T-bone steak or a 9mm handgun or donate some money with a credit card to a pro-life organization, Big brother pushes a button and just like that, you are bankrupt. So you're always constantly one wrong think away from losing everything you have. Bill Gates of hell. Vaccine, quantum dot vaccine system. Injects microchips into people's bodies. Microchips that were specifically designed and developed to do what? To transfer digital currency. Do you know that Bill Gates filed for a patent for that vaccine system even before the pandemic started? You don't think this whole thing was planned from the get-go? And do you know what the patent number was that was assigned to Bill Gates' vaccine system? W02020606066. 666. You can't make this stuff up, people. What's going on? It's a whole part of the mark of the beast system. It's already here. Do you see the signs? Heads up. And here's the quandary. You don't take the mark of the beast. You either starve to death or the Antichrist killed you. But you do take the mark of the beast. Your soul is eternally condemned to hell. Because Revelation chapter 14 verses 9 and 10 says there is no forgiveness from God. There is no salvation for anybody who takes the mark of the beast. Folks, all the technology that the Antichrist is ever going to need to control every single aspect of everybody's life all over the world isn't just coming. It's already here. It's already here. Heads up. See the signs. We got so many end time signs flying at me right now. I'm getting whiplash just trying to keep up with them all. Heads up. And while the devil, Antichrist has taken over and persecuting Israel, God is pouring out holy hell judgment on this world for dividing up his land and rejecting Jesus Christ. Joel chapter 3 verse 2. A time of trouble, Jesus says, Matthew chapter 24 verse 21, the likes of which the world has never seen before and will never see again. A 7-year period of hell on earth known as the Great Tribulation. And everything the Bible tells us about the Great Tribulation, we're starting to see those things happen now. See the signs? Heads up. Jesus said there will be wars and rumors of wars. Matthew 24, verse 6, like World War III in Ukraine. And China's slow invasion of Taiwan. And Iran trying to bomb Israel to kingdom come. I could go on and on. Revelation chapter 6, verse 8 says during the tribulation, 1/4 of the population of this world is going to be destroyed by the sword or by plague or by famine. Right now, 2.4 billion people in our world are hungry and starving. And folks, did you see the plague of grasshoppers that descended on the state of Utah last June, destroying tens of thousands of acres of crops and wheat? That swarm of grasshoppers was so huge, it showed up on weather radar. Talk about pestilence in the last days. Heart attacks and strokes going through the roof. Scientists at Stanford University estimate now that between 150 million and 200 million Americans will be dead from the clot shot by the year 2028. That's over half the population of this country. And natural disasters. Wildfires in Greece, Portugal, Chile, record flooding in Slovenia and Eastern Europe, typhoons in China, monsoons in India. This is all going on now. Over 1,000 wildfires across Canada. Here in the United States, wildfires in Hawaii, Arizona, California, Washington State, Oregon, Missouri, and New Jersey. Florida was just hit by a hurricane and a tropical storm at the same time. California was just hit by a tropical storm for the first time in 84 years. And a tropical storm hit the state of Nevada for the first time ever. And regardless of what the tree huggers say, it's not called climate change. Jesus calls it the beginning of sorrows. Matthew chapter 24, verse 7. The whole world, they're rocking and a rolling because Jesus is coming again. Romans chapter 8, verse 20. Revelation chapter 16, verse 10. Said the suffering during the great tribulation will be so horrific. It will be so bad. People will gnaw their tongues in agony and beg to die. And what's it all leading to? Battle of Armageddon. When the devil and the Antichrist gather up all the nations of the world for one final attack on Israel to try to wipe them out. And just when it looks like everything is lost, right when it looks like Israel has no chance at all, behold, I saw heaven open and a rider on a white horse whose name is faithful and true. On his head are many crowns and he's dressed in a robe dipped in blood. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to smite the nations. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty, and on his robe and on his thigh he has this name printed, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. People, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming again, and he's not coming back to take orders. He's coming back to take over. Heads up. Heads up, Christians, because we're going up and bypassing the great tribulation altogether. Jesus says here, verse 36, pray that you might be able to escape all that is about to happen on the face of the earth. Your escape is the rapture that gets us out of Dodge before all hell breaks loose and the Antichrist even shows up. So the second coming has two parts. Jesus comes at Armageddon with the church at the end of the great tribulation. Jesus comes in the rapture for the church at the beginning of the tribulation. You say, Kevin, why is Jesus going to rapture us out of here? Because the Bible says during the great tribulation, the pure wrath of God is going to be poured out on this world. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 says, God has not appointed us Christians to suffer that kind of wrath, because Jesus Christ suffered that kind of wrath for us when he died on the cross, so we wouldn't have to. How do we know that Christians aren't going to go through the rapture? Because the Bible calls it the great tribulation. Because the Bible calls it the time of Jacob's trouble, not the time of John's trouble. And folks, that rapture could happen any second, because it is the very next thing on God's timetable for the last days. Nothing else has to happen before the rapture happens. You are looking at a man that believes in the rapture of the church 100,000%. In fact, I believe it so much, this morning I came here expecting to go there. I'm on a day-by-day standby, folks. When the rapture happens, everything comes unglued. So if you're in this church right now and you're listening to the sermon and you're not saved, you're not a Christian, I wouldn't get on an airplane before I made sure that the pilot wasn't saved. Because if that pilot's a Christian and the rapture comes, there goes your pilot. I wouldn't get in a taxi. I wouldn't take a Uber without making sure that the driver was pagan. Do you have any idea what it's going to be like when God pours out that judgment during the Great Tribulation? Ever since 1991, millions of people from all over the world have flocked to the Black Rock Desert in Northwest Nevada for a 9-day festival leading up to Labor Day called Burning Man, a demonic New Age LGBTQ orgy frat party with massive amounts of drugs and drinking and naked bicycle parades and free and open sex, a throwdown that makes Woodstock look like a Sunday school picnic. And that festival ends every year exactly the same way, by the torching of a big wooden idol called Burning Man. And folks, you talk about demonic. There were temples to Satan where you can get debaptized and renounce your Christian faith and take communion to the devil with Slim Jims and Fireball whiskey. There's mock crucifixions of Jesus in every conservative, from Franklin Graham to Donald Trump. And this year, Burning Man was worst of all, with a Tower of Babel chapel and an orgy dome and naked yoga and all kinds of things I can't even mention in a church. And 87,000 people turned out for it. 87,000 people. That's a full college football stadium on a Saturday afternoon. And the Burning Man statue itself is taken from an ancient demonic Celtic character called Wicker Man, who made human sacrifices to the devil by burning people alive inside wooden wicker cages. 2017, a 41-year-old man died when he ran through the crowd and threw himself on the burning statue. The video. Worshiping the devil, worshiping themselves, anything and everything but God. And why do people do stupid things like that? Because they don't know the Lord. And because God created them with a desire to know Him so that they would seek Him and find Him. Acts chapter 17, verse 27. But instead of turning to God, they turn to anything and everything else that won't satisfy them or fill them up and destroys them in the process. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, they perish because they refuse to believe the truth and be saved. And folks, if you want a perfect illustration of what the world is going to look like during the Great Tribulation, when all the Christians and the Holy Spirit is taken out of here, there you go. Hell on earth and rebellion against God. So what did God do about Burning Man 2023? Well, finally, last Friday night, September the 1st, God finally said, I am so done with Burning Man. And all of a sudden, in that part of Nevada, it rained a year's totals of rain in just one night. More rain at once than at any other time in the history of the Black Rock Desert. Over an inch. And you say, well, Kevin, an inch of rain is not a lot of rain. No, but because the dirt in that part of the desert is alkali dust, that one inch of rain turned that entire hellscape into an absolute quagmire. No electricity, no lights, no fire, no orgies, and 70,000 people. 70,000 people so stuck in the mud, they couldn't get their campers or their RVs out of there. And people started panicking and running off in the desert. One person even died. But did any of those people even stop and think for a second, a nanosecond, who sent the rain and why? Turn out the lights, the party's over. Because there is a limit to God's patience. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, God will not be mocked. But notice something. What did God put in the sky over Burning Man after he flooded it out? Not just one, but two rainbows. As a sign that as demonic as that festival was and as evil as those people were, He would still forgive them if they would just repent and turn to him and put their faith in what God did for them in Jesus Christ in the cross. But listen, they're going to do that. They better hurry. Because what God did at Burning Man is just a little preview, just a little taste of what God is going to do in the last days. Because if people freak out about God sending a rainstorm on a frat party in the desert, what in the world are they going to do? What are they going to do when God rains down holy hellfire and damnation on the earth during the Great Tribulation? If there's somebody listening to this sermon today, you've done evil things, demonic things, like the burners at Burning Man. You want to get saved? You better hurry too. Because Jesus Christ is coming again. And after Jesus comes, there's no more mercy. There's only judgment. The mercy is now, before he comes. So if you're sitting in this church today and you're listening to this sermon and you don't want to be lost and condemned, you don't want to go to hell, you want to escape the hell on earth during the Great Tribulation, you want to be saved and taken to heaven with Jesus in the rapture, you get out of your seat, you come to the front of this church right now, you get on your knees right here at this altar railing, and you give your heart and your life and your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved. The second thing we need to do, because Jesus Christ is coming again, heads up. If we go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do, because Jesus Christ is coming again. Not only wake up, not only heads up, but third, look up. And that's also what Jesus is telling us here in verses 34 to 36. Look up. Don't look down. And don't just look around. And be a prepper. And build a compound. And stockpile brown rice and toilet paper. Because our future is not down here. Our future is up there. Our citizenship is in heaven. So even though for a while we live down here, we really belong up there. This world is not my home, but I'm not just a passing through, because I'm down here recruiting, beating the bushes, sharing the gospel, because we're racing the clock. We talk a lot here at Fox River Church about the last days and the second coming of Jesus Christ, but you know what? We also do an incredible amount of outreach, because people are lost and time is short. Look up. Look up. Look up, because when Jesus comes, everything is going to be made right. What fries our bacon the most is all these evil, despicable people who do so many evil, despicable things, and they're never held accountable for it. Former Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot is now teaching a class at Harvard University on what? Public health policy. Absolutely destroyed the city of Chicago during COVID. Now she's teaching other people to destroy everything else. Former FBI scumbag James Comey, who lied to Congress and who helped orchestrate the whole Russian collusion hoax against President Donald Trump, is now teaching a class at Columbia University. You know what that class is on? I kid you not. Ethics. God help us, people. Where's the retribution? Last month, the FDA officially approved ivermectin as treatment for COVID. I can't believe it. You talk about having blood on your hands. The millions of people they killed by withholding ivermectin, they knew it worked all along. So why did they withhold it? Because without ivermectin, COVID patients stay sick. So doctors can put them on ventilators. And even though the ventilators killed people by blowing out their lungs, it was $26,000 more a pop for the hospital. My God, people, you talk about evil. And all the other COVIDian Christians who told us Christians we were evil for telling people to take ivermectin. Because see, ivermectin, that was just horse pills and it would kill people. We're still waiting for our apology. Folks, I got to tell you, one of the biggest things that keeps me going is knowing that there is an afterlife. And one of these days, all the evil, despicable people are going to stand before God and they're going to get absolutely every single thing that's coming to them. Look up. Look up. Look up, because it's looking more and more like this world is not our home anymore. The United States of America was at one time the greatest, freest, most Christian nation in the history of the planet. But today we lead the world in pushing pedophilia and cutting the penises and breasts off of little 11-year-old boys and girls. And now they're trying to put the real president of the United States in prison for 800 years. My gosh, people, what has happened to this country? Look up. Look up, because the United Nations and Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum are now trying to take over the world in the name of saving it from so-called man-made climate change. And because they're the experts and smarter and better than you are, they want absolute, complete, totalitarian control over every single area of your life. So right now they're asking you to give up your gas stoves, pizza ovens, light bulbs, refrigerators, dishwashers, ceiling fans, charcoal grills, gas generators. I could go on and on. They want to put you in a 15-minute city to reduce your carbon footprint. Right now, there's something called C4 cities, the biggest 40 cities in the world, where people that will not allow citizens to eat meat or dairy or have fossil fuel-powered vehicles. You can only buy 3 new pieces of clothing every single year and can only do 1 short plane flight once every 3 years. And nobody will work, because that will eliminate a lot of the fossil fuel vehicles. So everybody will stay home and play video games and live off a universal basic income check. And there won't be any farming, because we've got to let the planet heal. So everybody will eat bugs, and starvation will kill millions. And because mRNA will have destroyed everybody's immune system, you'll always be sick. And the only way you can stay alive is by constant vaccinations, one after the other, after the other. No family gatherings, no concerts, no sporting events. Now see, the elites, the Bill Gates, the Dr. Fauci's, the Klaus Schwab's, they won't live like that, because they're the vanguard of the proletariat, but you will. But see, don't worry, because even though you will own nothing, you'll be happy. See the kind of world that they're creating for you to live in? And you say, Kevin, nobody is going to comply with that. Are you crazy? Look at what people are complying with now. 2 weeks ago, Dr. Fauci went on CNN to push mask wearing again. Joe Biden is wearing a mask again. Schools and colleges all over America are forcing students to wear masks again, even though epidemiologists at Oxford, who conducted the most extensive study of masks anywhere in the world, proved that masks, even N95 masks, do absolutely nothing to stop COVID. Nothing. And not only do they not help people, they hurt people by forcing you to take in compounds that lead to strokes and heart attacks and seizures. But in spite of all of that, notice all the people who are wearing masks again. Notice all the people who are queuing up for the new clot shot that's coming out this month, even though the last round of COVID vaccines was an absolute train wreck and killed millions of people, and no vaccine in the history of the world has ever been effective against a virus. But see, last two years, Pfizer made $100 billion in profit, 2021 and 2022. But see, this year, the profits are down 26%. So just shut up, line up, and jab up. You see what's going on? You see what the Great Reset is all about? You say, but Kevin, none of this stuff would ever happen. People, it's already happening now. The FDA has already approved Elon Musk putting microchips in your brain. The FDA has already approved crickets and mealworm flour as food to reduce your carbon emissions. Just remember, the biggest carbon that they want to reduce and eliminate is you. There's the United Nations plan for solving world hunger. A professor named Eric Pianca said this, "War and famine won't do it. Instead, disease offers the most efficient and fastest way to kill the billions of people that must die if the population crisis is to be solved and planet Earth is to be saved. Killing humans. Think about that. For everyone who survives, we will have to bury 9. So in order to save our planet, they've got to kill off 90% of the people who are already living here." You say, "Kevin, nobody would ever approve anything like that." Are you kidding me? This next year, 2024, the World Health Organization International Pandemic Treaty goes into effect, where every country in the world surrenders all their national sovereignty and all the individual rights and freedoms of every single one of their citizens to the WHO. And who controls the WHO? That would be the Chinese Communist Party. And who's the biggest financial donor to the WHO? That would be Bill Gates. And the Biden administration says they will sign on in a heartbeat. This next year, 2024, the United Nations is having a summit of the future where they're going to get every country in the world to sign a pact for the future, surrendering all their authority to the United Nations whenever the United Nations decides there's another global pandemic or another global climate crisis. Can everybody say one world government? And again, the Biden administration said they're on board just like that. Folks, what the Bible says is going to happen is about to happen. And now that the COVID and the vaccine has destroyed everybody's immune system, the real virus is going to be released to really depopulate the earth. But hey, all the NFL games start today. And Barbie's the number one movie in the world. All the bread and circus is occupying the sheep, while the wolves who want to cull the herd sharpen their shears. But look up, people. Look up. Because if you don't like this world down here, Jesus will take you to the other one up there. Don't get vaxxed, get raptured. Because if you get raptured, they will own nothing and you will be happy. So look up. Look up. Because folks, we may be out of here sooner than you even think. Back in 2015, United Nations was so gung-ho about a one world government, they came up with something called Agenda 2030, a blueprint for the communist utopia and the platform that the Antichrist is going to use to take over the world as soon as he appears. And here's just some of the goals of Agenda 2030. One world government, one world economy, a global digital ID, global depopulation, abolition of all nations, all individual rights, the nuclear family, sex and gender, private property, the right to bear arms, implementation of a social credit system, carbon footprint surveillance system, mandatory vaccines for all ages, programmable digital currency, universal basic income. And it's no coincidence that a lot of those things sound exactly like what the Bible says is going to happen during the Great Tribulation. So, gee, do you think maybe Agenda 2030 and the Great Tribulation are really the same thing? And because people don't want to give up everything they own to the New World Order and starve to death, no country in the world is ever going to be able to achieve all their 2030 goals by the year 2030. So this coming September 18th and 19th in New York City, the United Nations is holding a big summit on SDG, Sustainable Development Goals of the 2030 Agenda. And at that summit, they are going to ask every national leader, every government leader of every country in the world to sign a pact that they will meet all their 2030 agenda goals by the year 2030. And Christians, listen to me. Every time you hear about government leaders signing a pact, you need to pay attention. Because the fear is the Biden administration is going to pull the trigger and go all one world government. Because they will sign anything the New World Order tells them to sign. And a one world government has been their dream from the very beginning. And because the Bible says a one world government is what triggers the Antichrist, the Great Tribulation, and gets that rolling too. Great Tribulation, Great Reset, Build Back Better, Green New Deal, Agenda 2030, it's all one and the same thing. You say, but Kevin, if you're saying that the Great Tribulation is going to happen at the United Nations. The Great Tribulation lasts for 7 years. Yeah. Agenda 2030 minus our year 2023 is 7 years. So, Kevin, you're saying that the Great Tribulation could start September 18th and 19th at the United Nations. But, Kevin, the Bible says the rapture has to happen before that, before the Great Tribulation starts. Well, what do you know? This coming September 14th and 15th is the Jewish festival of Rosh Hashanah, or the Feast of Trumpets. And even if people don't care about the Jewish festivals anymore, God still does, because he still uses them to mark times and seasons, and especially for what's going to happen in the last days. The first four Jewish festivals represent what Jesus did when he came here the first time. And the last three festivals represent what Jesus is going to do when he comes again. And the last three festivals start with the Feast of Trumpets. And because it starts the new Jewish year, it's signaled by a new moon that starts out as invisible. So the Sanhedrin would hire two men to keep watch. And when the very first sliver of the new moon became visible, they would report it to the Sanhedrin. And they would announce the start of the festival and the start of the new year. And because nobody ever knew ahead of time the exact time that first sliver of moon would actually appear, because it was impossible to predict and only God knew, the Jews called the Feast of Trumpets, nobody knows the day or the hour. So when Jesus says, Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, nobody knows the day or the hour, he's talking about the time of the rapture, a rapture happening during the Feast of Trumpets. See, Jesus never said we couldn't know the time he was coming again. Jesus just said we couldn't know the exact time he was coming again, the day or the hour. And because the world is divided up into different time zones, his coming would be at different times for different people, different parts of the world, over a period of 2 days. Which is why the Feast of Trumpets is celebrated what? Over a period of 2 days. And folks, why could the Feast of Trumpets very well be the time of the rapture? Because every single festival that Jesus Christ fulfilled during his ministry, he fulfilled the exact meaning of that festival on the exact day of that festival. Passover, Jesus was sacrificed as the Lamb of God on the cross. Feast of Unleavened Bread, Jesus' body was broken like unleavened bread on the cross. First fruits, Jesus rose from the dead as the first fruits proof that everybody who believes in him is going to be raised too. Pentecost, a harvest festival when Jesus poured out the Holy Spirit on the disciples in Jerusalem to start the gospel harvest of the church. Feast of Trumpets, Jesus comes in the rapture. And why not? Because during the Feast of Trumpets, the priests would blow the trumpet exactly 100 times, and the last trumpet blast would be the loudest and also last the longest than the previous 99. And it's that last trumpet blast that announces the rapture. And how do we know that? Because Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, we shall be all changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trumpet. And what did Jesus say was going to happen when he comes in the rapture? Matthew 24, 30 and 31. You will see the sign of the Son of Man in the sky, and he will come in the clouds of heaven with the sound of a trumpet. Ready or not? Here he comes. And let me ask you this morning, why not? Seven is the number of God's perfection and completion. Seven is the number of years that the Great Tribulation is going to last. Agenda 2030 minus 2023 is 7 years. 23 skidoo literally means to have somebody forcibly take you out of some place and put you in some other place. That's exactly what the rapture is. Feast of Trumpets happens September 14th and 15th, 2023. First and second day of the seventh month. The Jewish year. Our year 2023 is the Jewish year 5783. 5 plus 7 plus 8 plus 3 is 23. 2023, 2 plus 0 plus 2 plus 3 is 7. What do you have on your day planner for this coming 14th and 15th? What do you plan on doing this coming Thursday and Friday? Because if I was you, I'd be looking up. Okay, Kevin, you're saying that the rapture is going to happen this coming September 14th or 15th during the Feast of Trumpets. Absolutely not. Because nobody knows or can know the day or the hour. I am for it whenever it happens. All I am saying is this, ain't these interesting times that we're living in? All I'm saying is this, people, look up. Keep looking up and keep listening up for that sound of the trumpet, because Jesus is coming again and our redemption draweth nigh. Jesus Christ is coming again. I don't know if the Bears are coming back. I don't know if Donald Trump is coming back, but I know that Jesus is coming back. And if you're here today and you're not saved, you're not a Christian, you need to get up out of your seat, you need to come to the front of this church, confess your sin to God, put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take your sins away, and ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior. And you need to do that today, because Jesus could come back at any second. The rapture could happen any second, folks, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. And if you haven't made that decision before Jesus comes back, it's going to be too late. Luke chapter 12, verse 40, be ye therefore ready, for the Son of Man cometh at a time you think not. And if you're a Christian here today, the greatest news in the whole wide world, Jesus Christ is coming again. So all you Christians who are tired and worn out and beaten down, hang on. Hang on, because help is on the way. And every single one of us believers today, we need to rededicate ourselves to the Lord. And being the spouses we're supposed to be, and raising our kids and shining a light and being that witness for Christ to other people while there's still time. Because soon and very soon, in a flash, twinkling of an eye, we're going to be gone. We're going to fly away. You're here today and you haven't made any plans for eternity. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you need to come up to the front of this church. Don't leave this church today without being sure of a relationship with Christ. You need prayer for any reason, please come. Believe in the laying on of hands. We do anointing with oil here at Fox River. We believe that God can do anything. Just come forward. God will do amazing things. Go in peace.